Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more show of The Usual Suspects as we continue to roll on. One of our dear usual suspects, Eric Resendez, sent a tweet to us that says, I work in Beaumont and live in Pasadena. It takes me an hour and 20 minutes. Also, I know people that go all weekend games. They leave over here, spend the weekend there in Houston, and try to make it to at least five weekend series, I assume for Astros. But that makes sense. I mean,
but it's also a bad sign, though. The fact, you know, it's that much of a drive for them. You get what I'm saying? That they're spending an entire weekend because it doesn't make sense for them to come back at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Let's assume that that's true. And let's assume that he's not the only one. Or the people that he knows aren't the only ones. How big, though, of a market do you really think that is for people that come and spend the weekend to go to those games? It's not that big. I'm
like,
willing to bet you.
What percentage of Beaumont is going to see Rockets? Basically what you're saying.
Astros
right?
games or Rockets games. Yeah, I'm willing to bet you it's so slim that it's like, well, why spend those marketing dollars there when, like you said, there's 4 to 6 million people in the metro area that you could reach in Katy,
on a consistent
in Katy,
basis, right?
In the Woodlands. Conroe is closer than Beaumont. Put something up there. You know, it's a 45-minute drive from Conroe.
I assure you, in the Rockets offices, when they're thinking about billboards to purchase prior to the season and at different times, if it's thrown in as a bonus, it's fine. But I-10 East is not on their target market because they know how many people. If you just get a billboard in the Galleria area where the 610-59 interchange is, do you realize how many cars per day are seeing that billboard? They figure if we get a single-digit percentage of the people that are actually looking at that billboard, hey, then the money was well spent.
Right. There's the potential for people to change their minds and become Rockets fans within the city limits. There's just too much potential there for you to, like, turn a blind eye and start working on the outer cities. It just doesn't make sense.
Snap said, Nick, you guys ever notice when Barry gets excited, his Texas twang sounds like lollies on Orange is the New Black? And I responded with, none of us watch Orange is the New Black because we're men.
That's correct. The second
snap.
Part.
Oh, snap!
The second part. No, y'all. Oh, snap, y'all.
Y'all.
Give it a little twang to it.
Leave me alone, snap!
Second part is all you, but yeah, I don't watch Orange is the New Black.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I would make the argument that Beaumont's probably mostly Texans fans, but if you're from Beaumont, call it, like, tell me I'm an idiot.
I have a feeling it's
tell me I'm
split.
An idiot.
I think it's 50-50. It may be 50-50, but
50-50
I think
between
it's
what? Between Texans and Astros?
No,
Texans
Cowboys.
Rockets,
Cowboys.
Texans. Okay.
Texans Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're all Astros down there, but
that's
think it's.
Yeah, I definitely think it's Astros country, Rockets country. Definitely, and maybe, I doubt Pelicans, but maybe, because there's probably a lot of
the
transplants from Louisiana
would be
and Beaumont.
The NFL.
Yeah, I think it's split down the middle
and
in the NFL.
And Saints may bleed in a little bit from Louisiana, but but for the most part, that's where you might have the biggest discrepancy, because you'd have...
I bet it would be like 40% Cowboys, 30% Texans, you think? And 30% Saints?
Yeah, I would still say Texans would be like one of the higher ups in terms of the team.
Yeah,
I think
Saints
there's
too.
At least 20-25% Saints fans.
Okay.
I mean, even in Houston, you got a pretty decent amount of Saints
fans. It's a six-hour drive from here, from Beaumont, I'm assuming it's what, five?
Yeah, four. Probably closer to four and a half. Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. Austin's been waiting patiently. He wants to get in here on that previous caller. So, Austin, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, so I'm in Beaumont. I've lived here for going on 7 years, and it's weird that you guys kind of segued into it because I was going to make the comment. I've gone to one Astros game this year for that specific Thursday game. I want to say it was me and my wife had to take the kids out We had to leave work early on Thursday. We took off work on Friday because of how much time it took. There's been a few other occasions that I've tried to get people to go with me, and it almost seems like it's harder to get people to go to Houston because, and with that being said, because it's so hard to get people to go to Houston and dedicate so much time and money to it, I do feel like there is no reason to put those dollars into this Beaumont market. Now, on the flip side of that, I'm glad you guys segued into the whole Saints thing. I honestly, from what I've seen and the people that I'm around, I'm going to say it's probably like 35% Cowboys, 35% Saints,
okay,
30% Texans. I feel like there's a whole lot more Saints than there is Texans. And the Texans thing is kind of like Houston had a team. As far as basketball goes, it's probably like 80-20, and 20 goes to the Spurs. I don't really see a whole lot of Pelicans fans by any means. But I do know that it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of effort from the Houston market to come to Beaumont, and there shouldn't be by any means. When I come to the game, it seems like the billboards start popping up when you get to Baytown, when you go through Deer Park, places like that. And rightfully so. There's no reason that any of those marketing dollars should come this way because of how big that Houston Metroplex is. Not to beat a dead horse, I know you guys are all on the same page and kind of think that anyway, but I just want to put my two cents in and enjoy the rest of the show, guys.
Austin, appreciate the comment.
That was Austin. Yeah. From Beaumont, talking about Houston.
Fantastic right. information.
I get it.
Though.
I see how that works. Yeah. No, I mean, that's good. It's good to hear from someone there that says, you know, give us, because we're speculating. I mean, hell, we're not from there. We don't know.
Right. But at the same time, look, I mean, that's good insight because a guy that's been there for the last 7 years can tell us, you know, what's near and dear to their hearts so that, you know, we're not speaking out of turn. But it just seems based on, again, I would feel, unless it was a weekend game, if it was me and my family, there's no way that I'm doing that and taking a day off of work. I mean, that's just a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know,
Lamont said, I think with Bun B being damn near a Texans ambassador, the Beaumont goes Texans. I think you're sleeping on the Cowboys foothold over there.
And how long it's been there.
Yeah.
How long it's been in place. So, you know, we'll see. I think that, again, when you talk about that, it's not that they aren't fans. It's just that that commute is just a bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
The guy's literally trying to get his friends to kind of come with, you know, like family friends to come with him from Beaumont, perhaps to split expenses, perhaps just to join them for the ride so it's not a terrible ride going and a terrible ride coming back.
But if you drink it all, it's a dangerous ride going home, too.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to have a designated driver.
Well, if you're a dad with kids, yeah.
I'm not saying the ones you went to with the family. When he said, I tried to get some of my friends together.
Well, you really shouldn't. I mean, that's a long drive, honestly.
No, that's
old school dads are drinking.
He wants to get his friends together. He tried to get his friends to go. You can't do that and drink.
Old school dads are drinking.
I believe you, but that is so wrong.
You kidding me?
Dude, Beaumont's... Dude, that place is so
far. All I'm telling you is that growing up, if I grew up in Beaumont, my dad was drinking if he took me to an Astros game.
Question.
It didn't matter.
Brewer game. I mean, come on.
God, didn't matter.
Brewer game. The damn mascot jumped out of a chalet and sunk into a big beer mug every time there was a home run. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's like the nectar of the gods back home. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of things that factor into it. All right. Parker wants to get in here on Beaumont. What's up?
Yeah, guys, how's it going? I'm here in Beaumont. I've been grew up here my whole life. Wanted to call and give you guys some accurate numbers on the fans here in Beaumont and the surrounding areas. I'm going to say it's probably around 50% Cowboys, 30% a mix between Texans and Titans fans. A lot of people around here still root for the Titans, you know, kind of keep it hometown. A big deal with the Astros, a lot of people don't go drive over to Houston and watch the Astros because of how much money it costs whenever you go to the game. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, appreciate it, Parker.
Barry, he brings up a point that completely supports your theory, which is old school, because the Cowboys have been around so long, not only does it back up your theory with the 50% for the Cowboys, but the fact that the Titans weigh in is probably because of old school Oiler fans that still follow the franchise once they left. That shows you how deep the roots are in who they root for and their fandomonium. That's why you look at that. So say what? Almost 70% are either following the Cowboys because they've been around a while or the Titans.
I didn't even get to ask him because Parker said, I'm going to call and give you guys some real numbers. We didn't even get to ask him what the plus minus was on the poll that he took.
Yeah, and did he go door to door? Was it a phone based or internet based?
But I get what he's saying. Yeah. Right. I mean, he's probably right because you can look around and see the stars on the back of the trucks and the Saints, the fleur de lis, is that what it's called, on the back
that's
of
right.
Or the Texans logo or the Titans stupid logo, whatever that stupid thing is.
And most of those logos never mind.
What is it? It's a sword, stupid looking sword.
I have to think about it now.
It is a sword, isn't it?
I think it is, too.
It's not an old Derek anymore.
Damn it.
Damn you, Bud Adams.
Yeah.
I don't know what this... I haven't screened this next caller. So
all right. Kevin wants
a gamble.
Kevin probably wants to mix it up. But, Kevin, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm kind of going to shift gears a little bit. Even though I went to about 8 games this year for the Rockets and fans got there at the third quarter, it's pretty ridiculous. But I have a question about the Rockets. Kenny Smith says that if, when Carmelo joins the Rockets, that he's going to be guarded by the second or third best defensive player on the opposing team, and that he would crush who's ever in front of him. So with that being, that's a kind of a good thing. But with that being said, how do you think that kind of matches us up with Golden State?
All right, so we're up against it, so we appreciate it, Kev. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll switch gears with you. We'll start talking a little Rockets because that has been the hot and heavy talk, and especially on social media where everybody's assuming it's a done deal. Melo's on his way to Houston. How does that fit with this Mike D'Antoni system? Is there enough ball to go around? And does that put them over the top to not only be better than the Spurs but compete with the Warriors? We'll get to that and a whole lot more in just a few minutes. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Before the break, we had a call that wanted to know, it seems that there is another wave of hot stove leading Carmelo to the Rockets, asking if the opposing team second best defender would be on Carmelo, saying that Kenny Smith said if they are, Carmelo
third,
will
right?
chew them up, second or third. He said, you know, between the two.
And then
how they match up with the Warriors.
Yeah, well, that's the tricky part. And I'm guessing we're going to assume that Melo is going to be a small forward on this team. Or is he going to be a power forward? Because he's played both. He's known to be a small forward more. That's the question, because then that's going to be, who is he guarding? Is he guarding Durant or is he guarding Draymond Green?
So the way I got it, Klay Thompson's going to be on Harden. Klay Thompson's their best on-ball defender, right?
Sure.
CP3 and Curry are going to probably still be matched up because the size disadvantage for Curry isn't there. Curry has been able to take advantage of CP3 when CP3 is on defense. The key is going to be the Durant and Draymond Green.
I think it's no doubt you have Ariza, right? Garden Durant?
Well, but here's the X factor. Is he still on the team because of what you have to give up to get Melo?
Well, that's true.
So there's certain ways that we're not going to be able to break this down as far as we'd like to. But assuming that Ariza or PJ Tucker are there.
Either one of those is guarding Durant.
And Melo. So I would say Durant and Green will probably take turns, because I agree with what you said. I think, especially if Anderson's in any deal, I think Melo's going to spend some time at the four because of the fact that simply he can go down on the block and he can score. Now, defensively is a whole different ballgame, mm-hmm. but offensively, Melo has the offensive skill set on the block to score points in short doses. So I think you'll see Durant and Green kind of flip-flop between Melo and whoever the other forward is, whether it's Ariza and Tucker. The big thing now becomes the bench and the center position, because if Nene's in there, he can put a body on Pachulia. But the Warriors, because everybody wants to play with a winner, they're not going to have any problems restacking their bench as they're already doing now. If, again, depending on what you have to give up to get Melo, depletes your bench, I think the Rockets will be challenged with their second unit.
Yeah. If you have to give up Gordon, for sure.
That's a big one that I just don't want to see.
A big loss, because now you've lost Lou Williams and you would have lost Gordon. Yeah.
If you're the opposing team, don't you look at Carmelo and say, I mean, are we all in agreement that you don't put your first and second best defender on Melo?
I'd say second. It depends on the situation. It depends on the team. If you've got a Steph Curry-like, You also got to remember, Paul's got to guard somebody too, and he'll lose some juice. He'll lose some energy trying to chase Curry around a lot. So,
but he's a good defender,
and he's not a physically big, powerful point guard. So that allows Curry to have at least not that you say it's a wash, but he has a chance on defense, right? Because otherwise they try and hide him. So because you don't have to hide him in that situation, you're probably better off. But if you take a bigger point guard or some of the guards in this league where the matchups totally favor the other team and you have to hide Curry, now Durant might have to slide over. Now you might have to make some adjustments. Klay Thompson, and you might have to live knowing that Harden's going to get his anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting scenario. Have they closed the gap? I liked what Fred and AJ said the other day. Look, last year the Rockets were about 11, 12 games behind the Warriors. So maybe now it's 10. Maybe it's, you know, depending on what they do with Melo. But I think there's more. Forget the questions about how they match up against the Warriors. The bigger questions are going to be, how do they handle all of the things they have internally? Chris Paul's going to want to dominate the locker room. Harden's never had that before. Is there enough ball to go around? Because if Melo's in the mix too, now everybody's going to be trying to get theirs. And as much as they say we're all in this for one common goal, that's a long season.
But I got a question, though.
Okay.
How is Chris Paul going into the locker room with the mentality that he's dominating the locker room? Like, how is he? Like, is Chris Paul really going into the locker room saying, I'm dominating this locker room with James Harden?
Not to begin with.
No.
Not to begin with. I would say by three quarters of the way through the season, once people see his effort on both sides of the ball compared to James Harden's, the locker room will naturally gravitate to him as their leader because he's hustling on both sides. I mean, how many times, you know, you hear things sometimes where guys in that locker room would question Harden's commitment on both sides of the ball. You could see it. You could see him walking up after a turnover and not getting back playing defense.
Is Chris Paul the guy that will call him out, though, on defense?
So the big thing, Nick, is he's not going into the locker room thinking he's going to control this locker room. But to Barry's point, he's such a competitor that what he is going to do is, which other guys won't do, a lot of guys turn the other cheek for years now on what James does that he's not supposed to be doing or doesn't do that he's supposed to be doing.
Right.
Chris Paul's the guy that not only is going to do it in the locker room, but in the middle of the court or in the middle of a huddle, he's going to go, where were you there? And again, that's that feeling out process. He'll do it a lot more to guys not named James Harden.
But at some point,
they're going to butt heads.
I think he'll soften it when he deals with Harden. If it's a young player, yeah, he's going to get in his face and be like, hey, man, you need to, you know, D up, whatever. When it comes to Harden, it's probably one of those things where he'll soften it on the court, but maybe pull him aside and be like, look, man, you got to play better or something, but not embarrass him in front of the team.
I think initially it's going to be very, very soft sell on James, but I think there's going to come a point, I don't know what point in the season, that he is going to probably go a little over the top. On James.
I'm I'm with you on that because I'm afraid how James will react to it. We don't know. Everything that we've seen from James so far, if Chris Paul calls him out, especially like on a national TV game in front of everybody on the court, I don't know if Harden will ever react well to that.
But I'm saying,
not just
overall,
in that time. But
who cares? Who cares? If you're being a drag ass and you're not playing D and you get called out, don't be a diva. James Harden is calling out people left and right last year. And he'll do it again
this year.
James Harden is the guy
in that locker room.
But it's about how you react to being called out. Everybody reacts to being called out differently.
Right.
And some people do it well and some people don't.
That's right. So that's what I'm saying. So the biggest factors you have to look at are, is there enough ball to go around? How's Carmelo going to get along with a coach that he despised when they were in New York, no matter how much everybody said it's water under the bridge? That's not water under the bridge the minute that if everything's going ducky, it's great. If things start going a little sideways, those are the kind of things that rear their ugly head. And again, from a standpoint of from Chris Paul, how is that dominant personality going to be accepted, and is there going to be some butting of the heads? You don't know. Is there a lot of talent on that team with those three guys? Absolutely. PJ Tucker. And I think the other thing that helps is because they have a pre-existing relationship with a lot of guys that are coming in, it helps when from the standpoint of Chris Paul, if he's boys with PJ Tucker, isn't going to be afraid to say, hey, man, I need your ass to be defending that guy. And if he blows by you, that's a problem. Get out there. He's not going to have a problem with that. It's that delicate balance between this is James's team, it's been James's team, and a guy that's always been able to speak his mind in Chris Paul. Those are going to be things that they have to iron out. That's why I said, last year they said the Warriors had stuff to work on. The Rockets is going to be a work in progress all year. And that's not to say that there's not enough talent in that locker room. If they do figure out that delicate balance, they could be damn good. So, I mean, but you can't judge that as soon as the trade's made. And again, keys are going to be, too, the role players, right?
Golden yeah, because I'm not ready to anoint them that, like, well, where are they if they get Melo? Well, you don't know. You don't know which role players. Yeah, you got Tucker, but, like, there's still plenty of more role players that they're going to have to pursue in the event that they get Melo, because you know they're going to give up a lot.
You are assuming now they're going to have to give up a lot, you know, because it's not going to be a straight buyout. A straight buyout's a no-brainer, because now you got – just think of the fact that – and by the way, we had a text message that says, why do you hate on Ryan Anderson so much? We don't hate on Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson at his old salary of $9 to $11 million a year, fantastic value and a great fit. Ryan Anderson at $20 million a year when he had the season that he had last year, it's not hate, it's honesty. He's a one-dimensional player, and he's paid a lot of money. And a lot of teams don't want him. But if it was a buyout, God, would I love this team to have those three guys in the starting lineup and have Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon coming off the bench and P.J. Tucker? Now your second unit is, dare I say, head and shoulders better than last year's second unit, regardless of what bigs you add. And now you're a deeper, more well-rounded team. But if you have to make a trade with the Knicks and you've got to appease them, I got to believe Gordon's in that deal, and I think that hurts them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, losing Gordon and Lou Williams, you lost 2 6-men of the year, you know, potential award winners. That's a no-brainer. You can't afford to lose both of those guys and still consider yourself deep.
No, you just, you know, and Mike wants to get in here. So you want to hit the break first, Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll hit the break and come back with Mike. Mike wants to talk Rockets as well. If you want to talk Rockets or anything else, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4. We are here, the Usual Suspects. And at the same time, you guys are doing a great job of participating in the show. We've kind of switched gears a little bit, and we've been hitting the Rockets lately, and Mike wanted to get in here before the break, so let's get him in here before too much time passes. Mike, what's up?
Hi, guys. Enjoy the show. I was calling as far as the Carmelo Anthony, you know, potential trade, whatever. I'm just worried about the defensive side of the ball. You know, this D'Antoni ball, I know it's all about score, 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 but it didn't even get us to the Western Conference Finals last year. What are we going to do about that side of the ball? I just want to hear y'all's thoughts.
All right. Appreciate the call, Mike.
All right, Barry. What are we going to do?
Well, I mean, they've gotten better, believe it or not. They're a better defensive team than they were last year, even losing Pat Beverly. Chris Paul, there's really no drop-off to me between what Pat Beverly brought you and Chris Paul. You got better at that position. You got better at the point guard position. Chris Paul is a plus defender. P.J. Tucker is better than anybody, you know, any power forward or small forward that you have on the team defensively. Nene is back. He's a plus defender in the low block, you know, depending on whether they trade Capella or not. Carmelo Anthony is the only guy that you look at and Harden and think, well, they really, you know, they're not good defenders. Harden's never been a good defender, but I think people sleep on his steals and how many he gets. But, you know, the fact that he has so many Olays and my bads that overshadows that. But, I mean, adding the big deal is, are people worried that adding Carmelo Anthony makes this team a bad defensive team? They're not going to be any worse than they were before. And they've added Tucker and Chris Paul, which I think makes them better defensively.
To your point from the point guard position, the other thing that you take into consideration is that the position has been upgraded simply because of the offense that Chris Paul brings, not only with his shot, which you've highlighted in terms of almost a 40% three-point shooter, but more importantly, the assist total. You know what James did with the ball in his hands, but now you know Chris Paul's capable of doing the same thing. And from a steals perspective, Chris Paul's always up there. So yeah. Defense, you may lose a little bit in terms of the on-ball part of it, but overall you're gaining and you're a plus at that position from what you had to where you are. Totally agree on P.J. Tucker. Versatility, low post, athleticism, strength, still a good three-point shooter. If you're able to keep Trevor Ariza, that's a great 1-2 punch at the small forward position, mm-hmm. right? And so the biggest thing for me comes down to the bench and the health. Because you're right. Nene, if he's healthy, and again, they did their best now to rest him throughout the year, and it still it backfired, right?
Yeah.
So Capella's a good rim protector, but he doesn't give you much offensively.
And he will he be here.
And that's another group, because that seems like the chip that everybody is interested in if you're going to talk about Carmelo or anybody else. So we don't. It's hard to evaluate all of this till we know the actual pieces we're dealing with. But look, they're going to be able to score. Like I said, I think their biggest issues are going to be within their own locker room and within their own 15-man roster early on anyway. And then they'll worry about the rest. How do they match up with the Warriors and how do they play better defense? Look, most teams in this league aren't playing great defense anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
You can probably count on one hand the teams that play defense in this league.
And not only that, there's still pieces to be added. You know what I mean? Yeah. If they go out and get a Gasol, or if they go, I mean, who do they give some mid-level exception to, or who are they? What are these other pieces that they're going to add? Are you going into the season as Bobby Brown as your backup point guard?
You hope not.
Are they going to add somebody? You know what I mean? So you don't know. You can't. You can speculate on who we do know about and who we think is going to be on the team as far as like Carmelo and who might get moved in that trade. But yeah, you don't really know until they come out of camp.
An optimistic, I guess, Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fan would hope that, you know, Harden and Carmelo Anthony will continue to get called out on their defense, and that will motivate them to get better, like against each other in terms of defense.
I want to say Carmelo's defensive rating was a 113. That's not good.
He's going to get called out. Harden's going to continue to get called out. Hopefully it builds some sort of competition between them two. Wishful thinking, but I mean, hopefully they get called out and it motivates them.
I mean, look, that's why I'm saying it's real easy to pass judgment now. But this is going to be a process. It's going to be a long process because of all the different moving pieces. And Barry and I have been very quick to point this out. Look, I'll tell you this. When Carmelo comes, there's a reason why people aren't knocking on the Rockets' door just yet. Because they know they got Chris Paul. But do they feel like they're better than the Spurs right now? No. Do they feel like they can compete with the Warriors? No. But the minute you add Carmelo too, or you're done doing what you want to do, then guys who didn't get the big money right away are going to say, they're going to David West it a little bit, to use a term. Where am I going to have the best chance to win? I can't get to Golden State because they've already added their bench. San Antonio, do I feel like they have enough? Am I going to be in the rotation? But if they look at Houston and go, wow, they need a big, or they need another versatile guy that can shoot the three, I'm there for them.
Yeah.
And then the question I have for you is, what if they don't get Carmelo? Are you okay with Anderson Gordon and the fact that they're going to get a whole lot more looks at the basket wide open because of the penetration and the forced double team help defense on both Paul and Harden? Is this the team that's better than last year and a team that can outscore the people that they need to outscore?
I think this is a team that's better than last year because if they don't do anything else, mm-hmm. because I think they upgraded at the point guard position. Okay. Losing Lou Williams, you didn't have Lou Williams for half the year, and when he got here, frankly, he didn't play as well as he had played in L.A.
Right.
So losing Lou Williams to me wasn't a big loss because you also still had another six man in Eric Gordon who could come off the bench. When you look at Ryan Anderson defensively, he's not great, but dude shot 40%. For the year from beyond the three-point line, which is what you want him to do.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you even said that's better than he shot it before.
That's one of the best ever. Yeah, I think he's 40.9% in 2013-14. But so he was 40.3 this year. That's you'll take that. I mean, from a power forward to be out there shooting 40% through the course of a year, yeah, you'll take that. Did he disappear at home for some weird reason? Yeah, he did. But you hope that maybe he'll find a balance and play a little better. But he averaged almost 14 points a game. He shot 40%.
The biggest thing, and again,
in this offense, that's what you want.
Is it fair or is it unfair? But I think that most of these people that are being critical now are basing it on the playoffs. Ryan Anderson disappeared in the playoffs. James Harden, they're basing it all on the end of Game 5 and Game 6 against the Spurs.
Yeah.
So it depends on how you're going to be critical, because you're going to have a hell of a ride in the regular season regardless, and they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to score a lot of points.
They are.
They're going to blitz a lot of teams that are tired and can't keep up. But then how do they switch gears themselves to prepare for playoff series in which it's going to be, as much as you want to admit it or not, it's going to be more of a grind. It's going to be more of a chess match. And then can you do the matchups that you guys want to talk about now? That's going to be the postseason, depending on who they have. And again, I'm not going to pass judgment because we don't know who they're going to have on their roster. But I do think, you know, and it's worth mentioning that on Instagram, Nene actually put a picture of Carmelo in a Rockets uniform on his Instagram and said he'll look great in this uniform and I can't wait to get back to the old times like we had in Denver. Do you guys remember him?
It seems like all the players really love this dude, Carmelo Anthony.
Which is a good sign.
Whoever's played with him seems to really have... So far, the only thing that I've heard, you know, is from, like, coaches and analysts and stuff that say, oh, he's a problem. But it seems like a lot of guys that have played with this dude want to play with him.
Well, you don't want to be that cancer. You don't want to be that guy.
You haven't had that label before, though.
That says I can't play with Carmelo Anthony. And I'm sure it's happened before, but not as often.
Yeah, but
as
you don't have to go out of your way to say how much you like him. If that's the case, you're not going to say anything. You know what I mean? Like, Nene coming out and posting a picture on Instagram of him in a Rockets uniform speaks more than if everyone just stays silent, because it's saying he really does like this.
Because I think it speaks more
that they're going to actually get him. Like they know something that we don't know, that they're actually
going to get him. Yeah, but again, if he didn't really like Carmelo, he's not posting that. He's just staying silent.
That's true.
That's a great point, because he's probably hoping, God, I don't hope we don't get him, so I have to go through that again. Because one of the things I heard was George Karl was adamant on trading him before the Nuggets actually ended up trading him, and the rest of the franchise overruled George Karl and said, that's not going to happen. And he said, you watch, this guy's going to really be a problem in a year or two. And sure enough, he was. And of course, George being George was bragging all over the league that he already saw this coming. But you're the Denver Nuggets. He was the best player on your team. It's not like you've been a powerhouse in the NBA. You got to hang on to that guy unless you're dead set he's not coming back and you got to get something for him. Otherwise, that's like the Rockets locking up James Harden. You got to take care of the ones you got so that you can get more instead of searching to try and get one back, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's Rockets talk. If you guys want to chime in on it, then it's up to you. We've got plenty more to get to, so we can continue to roll on. But we do appreciate the love and the participation. Again, 713-780-ESPN if you want to hit us up on phone or text, or hit us up on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, Usual Suspects, almost through 2 of the 3-hour show. I want to tell you that Nike taking over the uniforms and everything for the NBA is going to be a big deal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Adidas gets it through the Summer League, but I'm going to tweet out right now. Designs and concepts have already gotten out for Orlando and the new Magic uniforms. They're going to have, because Adidas, if you noticed, everybody had the same warm-ups. They just changed colors. Mm-hmm. In the case of Oklahoma City, they couldn't even get their blue for the warm-ups, so they used dark blue and orange. And it was just all kind of uniforms. Nike has the ability to do whatever they want. Orlando's going to have 5 different versions of uniforms. They're getting rid of the T-shirt design and the sleeves. But they're going to use – every team's going to be able to have more creativity in terms of the design and what
– Are they going to come out like in a top hat like a magician?
I'm telling you what. Like Orlando is now going to have –
They'll have like a wand and then it'll open up with flowers.
They went back to that one, the blue pinstripe they had.
Oh,
but they have an all white. They have an all of their lighter blue. They have an all black with blue lettering. They have an all black with white lettering. So the fact that you're going to have more variety, I think from a Rockets perspective, you could lose that checkerboard on the side. The black uniforms, and if you look at what they wore, the team predominantly on the road and even at home wore that black uniform. It is a badass uniform.
I'm okay with the Magic blue without the stripes.
I didn't mind the pinstripe.
I didn't mind it either.
The Bulls Thunder.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the Magic blue. Like the blue that the... I mean, I don't know if they're going to steer away from that, considering they're going to do, what, 5 different types of jerseys?
But one of them is the blue pinstripe, but they do have that blue you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I used to rock that blue.
So you have something you can tweet out? Because I want to see these.
I just did.
Okay. Yeah. Can we talk for a moment, speaking of uniforms, can we talk for a moment about what the hell Pitbull was thinking last night? We didn't even bring that up when we talked Home Run Derby. That was disturbing. First of all, I'm not a Pitbull fan. I've never been a Pitbull fan. I feel like Pitbull's like the Keanu Reeves of music.
I think if you wear sunglasses, you are Pitbull.
No. But I just, to me, he is the Keanu Reeves of music and musicians. Dude is not.
What, Nicholas sunglasses? Is he Pitbull?
He might be. Oh, I hate you.
Fireball.
I hate you.
This doesn't get you pumped in the club?
No.
That's my daughter's favorite song.
My wife goes.
My daughter loves to dance to this song.
My wife goes, you know, a lot of people say he's the best entertainer in the world.
What?
I'm like, who is saying this? What crackhead who might be also drunk?
I do like this jam, though.
Is saying that he's a great and one of the great entertainers? First of all, that's ridiculous. Second of all, why was that dude wearing an extra small jersey?
Can someone find the poor child that was mugged out of their uniform last night?
I get the white pants. It's Miami, you know, the Cuban style. I get that, you know, the white pants. It's summer and all that. Okay. Still looked weird. It felt like, but why was his belt so tight? And why was that jersey so tight? That looked off. And why the hell was the dude wearing gloves? Like, settle down, Pitbull.
There was so many things wrong with that.
He went like Miami Vice from the waist down and Miami Marlins from the waist up. I didn't understand that. That
was
so
creepy. I was thinking nursing student from the waist down.
His dancers were hot, though.
They
My God. My wife was like, look at her shaking her ass. I'm like, I'm looking at all of them shake their ass.
What was the next power dancer?
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
I tell you what, they were hot. They were, that's all I could, at one point I just stopped looking
at
him.
That's why he does it.
And was just
so
focused.
Mad that he's getting outdone by his chicks that he goes full bitch mode. He's got to wear skin tight press on shirt and pants just so that he can try and get the chicks to look at him.
Yeah, he's not, I'm not a fan of, are you?
No, but I mean, I like some of his music, but at the same time, think about that. If your wife's already going, God, his dancers are hot, think about all the other chicks that are going, God, his dancers are hot, and he's like, hey, man, what about me?
His dancing is ridiculous. He does, like, the same motion, like, the whole time on the stage.
And he does kind of the little jabby fist pump thing.
Yes, like, it's terrible.
I thought you just said you liked him.
I like the music, but
the
dancing?
Music.
It's Mr. Worldwide, baby. He's a great entertainer.
I don't know about the entertainment part, but
just goodness fire gracious. Fire. I'm having a hard time. Like, I was literally thinking, who does this dude musically? You know what I mean? Like, talent-wise. And all I could think of was Keanu Reeves or David Caruso. You know who David Caruso is?
Was that the guy from
He
CSI?
Was CSI Miami.
CSI
they would put the glasses on and be like, it looks like they died, or something like a corny joke, and then we put his sunglasses on. He was always looking down. He's a horrible actor, and that's what he reminds me. That's just, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Another thing that really bothered me about last night,
okay.
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but did you see the previews for the movie called The Emoji Movie?
I can't say that I did.
I'm going to try not to cuss because this made me so angry. There's a movie called The Emoji Movie, and it's about emojis. That's the whole movie. It's about the things that you send, like a little thumbs up or the poop emoji or whatever. It's about the emojis. First of all, I'm super disappointed that TJ Miller decided to be a part of this movie because I like TJ Miller. I think he's a funny dude. But I looked up The Emojis Movie on IMDb, and it's a real thing. And I was trying to find, they had a summary. You ready for this? I'm going to read you the Emoji Movie. You tell me how terrible this sounds. You're going to have to take your daughter to probably watch this in a year or two.
Nope. No chance.
Storyline.
I'm going to go to Netflix or Red. I'm going to Red Box.
Yeah, go to Red Box. Nick still goes to Blockbuster. Storyline. The Emoji Movie unlocks the never-before-seen secret world inside your smartphone. Hidden within the messaging app is Textopolis, a bustling city where all your favorite emojis live, hoping to be selected by the phone's user. In the world, each emoji has only one facial expression, except for Gene. What, Gene?
Damn, Gene.
You named an emoji Gene?
Freaking Gene again.
Except for Gene, an exuberant emoji who was born without a filter and is bursting with multiple expressions. It gets worse after that. Like, that's just the beginning of what this movie's about. Basically, the movie's about Gene enlists the help of his handy friend, High Five, who's the High Five emoji. And the notorious co-breaker emoji, Jailbreak. They embark on an epic app venture. I just want to stab myself right there. On an app venture through the apps on the phone, each its own wild and fun world, to find code that will fix Gene. But When a greater danger threatens the phone, the fate of all emojis depends on these three unlikely friends who have must save their world before it's deleted forever.
I'm looking at the trailer.
You've got to be kidding me.
Award nominee written all over. I can't say winner.
Who sat down and was like, you know what? That's a badass movie right there. Emojis. That's a badass movie.
We'll just another sign that they're running out of ideas
and
for movies.
And they do have the poop emoji is in the movie. Which I think should just be the face of the movie.
That's just crap.
This is a movie targeted for the older crowd, like Barry Warner age, right?
No.
No, because he wouldn't even know what the hell an emoji is. He's still trying to figure out.
Can educate himself on it.
Now, you know what would make this fun is if it wasn't animated. If you had a dude dressed up like the poop emoji, and you had a guy walking around like Hamburger Helper with a high five hand on.
That would make it fun. It would make it Broadway.
That would be okay, but I would rather see that than an animated emojis. Like, who cares?
Can I pass on both?
Yeah, I probably would too.
Yeah.
But Patrick Stewart is the poop emoji voice.
The guy from Star Trek?
Yeah. Sofia Vergara is Flaminka. What the hell is Flaminka? I don't
even
know.
I'll listen to that. I don't care. Sophia's.
Anna Faris is Jailbreak. TJ Miller is Gene. And James Corden is High Five. Jennifer Coolidge is Mary Meh. I guess there's a meh emoji. It's ridiculous. Stephen Wright is a meh. So I guess there's the meh family emojis. I don't know. This is stupid. I saw that. I almost lost my mind on the couch.
Okay.
What?
Speaking of emojis.
Oh, hell.
Yep. And when you talk about being a media member, all right, I want to ask you as a media member your opinion on public press conferences. I want to get your opinion on, are you old school media where a press conference is meant for the press and the members of the media to get valuable quotes, sound, and information from key members of whatever story they're following?
Okay.
Or is it more of like a celebration to announce a player and that everyone can come and make it one big party?
No, a press conference is for the press.
Kind of what I felt like.
An announcement is just anyone can come.
Remember the T-Mac announcement?
A press conference is for the press.
Remember the T-Mac announcement?
No, I don't remember.
They opened Toyota Center.
Okay.
Everybody was allowed in. A lot of the media members had a problem with it because it was too public. Too many fans were chiming in, yelling, shouting, and people were trying to do their quote-unquote jobs. They did the same thing with James Harden. When James Harden was acquired, they did it in the front lobby of Toyota Center. There was an echo. There was a lot of people stating that there were too many fans and it was too much of a distraction to get what they needed. The reason why I throw this out is because the Rockets are not done doing this.
Okay.
So let's...
One of your jams is on that soundtrack, by the way. The emoji.
Is that Africa? That's your guy.
Really?
That's your song. That's your jam. Yeah, that's Toto.
It's on the soundtrack. Now you have to watch it.
No, I don't. I could just listen to the song on Google Play.
Show some respect for the song and watch the movie.
Coming up next segment, Barry does a second review of the Emoji Movie where he gives it two thumbs up because of the song Africa.
Lane Cooper said, just wait till you get bumped for the Emoji Radio Show. Oh my God, I would kill myself.
God, I'd be so mad. That's the one show I'd be upset about.
He's so pissed. We've been preempted by the Emoji Radio Show. Oh, kill me now.
Hey, and Nick, by the way, I guess no more FEF Fridays. There's a new name for Friday because of the press conference I was talking about, too.
What?
CP3 Day.
Oh, is that what it is?
Friday is now CP3 Day, in case you didn't
CP3.
Know. Let them have their fun, Joel. Yeah. You're being salty.
I'm not being salty. I'm asking you a question. Are you okay with it being like this big public party?
Yeah, it's a big deal for them. I mean, I don't care.
They got a Chris Paul emoji. It's pretty cool. I swear to God, I'm not making that up. There it is.
That's not an emoji. That's just a character.
The background you can take out of it. I think that's an emoji.
That's not an emoji. We all know he doesn't have that kind of wingspan either.
Well, Michael Jordan did. That's different. All right, so we got two in the books, 1 hour to go of the show. So if you want to join us, please do. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter, on text, or call, and we'll continue to roll on Usual Suspects ESPN 97.5.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Boy, season's greetings to you all.